Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them and turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I'll say a few things while you turn there. I want you to consider the years of your life. I want you to consider the good when you gaze upon the history of your experience. And I want you to consider the bad, the darkness, the chaos. And I wonder, as if you, when you gaze upon the totality of your life, good and bad, you can say with the psalmist here, the Lord led me through all my prosperity and through all my hardships. Can you say that? The Christian life is often referred to as a pilgrimage. We are a pilgrim congregation. We are a church that is fighting militantly against all the things that are waging war against our soul. And the psalmist will say in Psalm 119, I am a sojourner in the earth. We saw it this morning in Hebrews 11. They are exiles and sojourners in the land. Richard B. Gaffin, who's a theologian, once wrote that the Bible on the pulpit is a sign to the congregation that it is a pilgrim congregation, that the church is still a people on the way. And so today, I want us to just simply look and we'll see that we are on the way and that our shepherd guides us. But let me pray and we'll jump into this familiar passage. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be guided by You. We do pray, Shepherd of our souls, Thou who art the great Shepherd and the good Shepherd and the chief Shepherd, come and shepherd us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23, the psalmist writes, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me in Your rod and Your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This ends the reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May He write its truth on our hearts. Well, I have a proposition and 3 points today. Aren't you excited? Probably the first time you've heard me ever say 3 points. But they're listed right there in your bulletin. Know the way of the shepherd. Know His care. Know His closeness. And know His chasing. Know the way of the shepherd, know His care, know His closeness, and know His chasing. Before we jump right in, I want you to know the way of the shepherd, know His care. He begins in that little subscript saying, a psalm of David. Now, you can't fix Psalm 23 to any particular point in David's life. All we can discern from Psalm 23 is that David is no longer a boy. He is beyond boyhood, already having enemies, verse 5. And he knows what it is to be in the danger of death, verse 4. David has experienced life in prosperity and in hardships. And he's no longer a child. But what he comes to display, this one who was a shepherd himself, is categorically how he relates to the Lord and how the Lord relates to him. And so I want us to try to understand David and his Lord, and especially how the Lord relates to us as Christians. So see how he opens in verse 1. He opens in verse 1 with this two lines. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I want you to see the one whom David puts in front of you at the beginning of the psalm. He says, second word, the Lord. Hebrew, first word, Yahweh. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The divine name. The one in whom David finds guiding the totality of his life is this one who revealed himself to Moses. The one who redeemed the people from Israel. The one who led them through the Red Sea. This is Exodus 3:14. He says, the Lord. The one who delivered the people originally is the one who leads me through my life. And David, in just the solemn statement, the Lord is my shepherd, joins a long list of saints who have categorized the Lord as their shepherd. Do you remember what we just read about Jacob? Jacob says in Genesis 48, and he says this about the totality of his life, which is just staggering. He says, the God, Genesis 48:15-16, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. He says, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. The angel who has redeemed me, bless the boys. Notice how Jacob at the end of his life views the Lord. The one who has shepherded me through the totality of my life. All of his wanderings, all of his troubles, all the way to the end. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to try to focus in on pronouns, and I hope it's going to open up the psalm to you a little bit. And if I can do that, I'll be satisfied with such. Notice how this first pronoun in the psalm, personal pronoun, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not talking about someone else. He's not talking distantly or ethereally. He's speaking to the closeness and the care and the provision he receives, particularly from the Lord. It inevitably tells you that the Lord is not everyone's shepherd. Though everyone loves the psalm, and everyone has the psalm read at their funeral, I hope you still keep it on your funeral list after this. Though many have memorized the psalm, it does not make this psalm a reality for them. The Lord is not everyone's shepherd. And David makes it clear when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. You say, Jonas, how do I know if the Lord's my shepherd? Well, very simply, we just did Psalm 22 last week, didn't we? And we said we're doing the three together, the cross, the crook, and the crown. And last week we saw the cross, and we saw the Lord Jesus and what he's accomplished for his people. And then we see how Jesus shepherds his people. And so the question becomes, have you done what Romans 10 says? That this psalm is not trying to answer how to make the Lord your shepherd, how to have the Lord as your shepherd. The psalm is telling you that all who call on the name of the Lord of Psalm 22 will be saved. And all who call on him will have him as their shepherd. But if there is no cross, Psalm 22, there is no shepherd in Psalm 23, which is a big development here. And then if there is no shepherd, there is no glory, right? Which is the next psalm. And so these psalms are building upon each other, the cross leading to the shepherd and leading to the crown that he will give. But notice the care of the shepherd for his people. And I hope you can see it in your own life. Just note, verses 2 and 3, four times, notice the one who's doing the actions. He says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. The reason for the abundance of the sheep is the goodness of the shepherd. Notice that they have everything. Everything they need for their life is found here. Green pastures, literally grassy pastures. Still waters, drink. All you need physically is found, and we often may think, God, why don't I have X, Y, or Z? But David, when he looks back, he says, He gave me everything I needed. Can you say that? Can you say, the Lord has given me everything I need? But not only physically, verse 2, but spiritually, verse 3. He cares for the totality of our being, not only giving us what we need in this world, but what we need for the world to come. In verse 3, it says, He restores my soul, and He leads me in paths of righteousness. If you were to call someone a sheep, it's not exactly a compliment, just so you know. And David knew this when he's relating the Lord as the shepherd and him as the sheep. If sheep are helpless, they have no fangs, they have no claws, they're not fast, they're the absolute quintessential reason that, a good proof that evolution's just a theory and never true. Someone always had to be around to take care of a sheep, or they wouldn't survive. They are very, very dumb. And so when you call yourself a sheep, it's not exactly a compliment to yourself. It's a compliment to your shepherd. And the psalmist says this phrase, He restores my soul. You remember the parable that Jesus gives when He's speaking of the Pharisees who are self-righteous and need no Savior. He says, I did not come to call the righteous, but the unrighteous. And I have not come for the 99, but the shepherd, he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one that has gone astray. And this restoration that is needed by you and by me is found to be a work of Him. Found to be the work of the shepherd. And thankfully, Jesus, that great shepherd, comes and seeks and restores us when we run away. Most people think it's good to be a sheep, but if our senior was here, I'm sure he could tell you that the back roads of Scotland, you'll be stopped by wandering sheep covering the road who have failed to follow their shepherd. And you'll be outraged that they simply will not move. So I've been told. And the fact that we need to be restored is the fact that we have also failed. We've failed. The desire of the sheep may be for the shepherd and to listen to the shepherd, but spiritually, the sheep don't follow Him all the time. They may know His voice, they may hear His voice, they may follow Him, but that doesn't mean they do it all the time. And I'm sure if you gazed at your life, could you say, this is true. I love my shepherd's voice. I love it when He calls and tells me, go this way, come with me. But I don't always listen to Him. To the sorrow of my own soul, but He restores me. He brings me back into what He says, the paths of righteousness. Whether it's by His own shoulder, He restores me, or He grabs me by the ear, He pulls me. And He does it for His own glory. Indeed, Jesus said that He'll tend His flock like a shepherd. Isaiah 40. He'll gather the lambs in His arms. He'll carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. I would urge you, consider God's shepherding care for you physically and spiritually, and praise Him. Aren't you glad that the Lord is a shepherd? Not simply a ruling king, but a gracious shepherd who bears with you. I want you to know the way of the shepherd. I want you to know His care. I want you to know His closeness. See what happens in verse 4. He says, the psalmist writes, even though, transition, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Notice the definite shift. He goes from the most pleasant of saints, right? Green pastures, still waters, to quite dire scenes in their nature. A valley that is described and possessed as a shadow of death. In the shepherding process, whenever the seasons would change or they ran out of food, the shepherd would have to lead the sheep to places otherwise that they might be maintained. And what David does in this picture of the shepherd is that he has them in this serene place where they can be nourished and satisfied and grow, but then the seasons change. And the shepherd has to lead them to a new home where they can be nourished and grow. Now, predators know this. Predators know that the change of the seasons, the sheep and all the animals have to move. And they have to move through certain places to get to certain places. That way they might have water and food. The whole world spends on this every year. The change of the season causes animals to move from one place to another. And here David pictures himself as the one who has to be moved for his own spiritual health. And he pictures himself as moving through a valley. But it's no ordinary valley. It is a valley that's described as a shadow of death. The sheep moving through, it seems, what is to be its demise. The shadow of death, the hardship, the pain, the sickness, the loss, the terrifying place which you can find yourself. And you can probably see that the normal response is to be afraid. If you're honest, you run from the kitchen to your bedroom when you turn off the light at night. How much more in a shadow of death? But the psalmist responds, verse 4, amazing. Get this. The psalmist doesn't run. He says, even though I walk. He's not running in the midst of the shadows of death. He's confident. He's sure. He's sure because a shepherd is with him. And the Christian does not have to fear when death is overshadowing them. But they can simply walk. And they can walk and they can have no fear because of this one reality. I want you to see the transitions in the pronouns here. And experientially, I hope it helps you. In verses 2 and 3, he uses the third person. And third person is distant in how when you speak of it. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. But notice what he changes the pronoun in verse 4. He says, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not fearing evil, for you are with me. It is no longer he is there. It is you. And what the psalmist does is that in the midst of afflictions and terrors, he finds the hand of his shepherd to be closer to him. Often in prosperity, we don't have the sense of God's presence as we do in afflictions. But in afflictions, we often know what we've known all along, what's been true all along, but becomes experiential in the midst of our trouble. Why are you not afraid? The nearness of God. It is you who are with me. In the valley of the shadow of death, we have comfort. Not ease, but comfort. because the shepherd's hand is by us. I wonder, no one else has comfort in the shadow. It's an unavoidable enemy, by the way. Death, last time I checked, mortality rate, 100%. And we will all experience this enemy, say Jesus, causing the end to come to fruition. But the hope of the Christian is in the shepherd. Notice he says, what is the comfort? Your rod and your staff comfort me. They're keeping me. Keeping me in the midst of this valley. And the shepherd who ultimately, as we hear in 1 Corinthians 15, himself takes away the pain of death, that it might simply be a shadow to us. Jesus, what does he say, Paul? Speaking of the resurrection of Jesus, he says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know why death will not hurt you? It is because it hurt Jesus. And Jesus, as we heard even this morning, carries us through death into new life. We all linger in death's shadows. But I love how the Puritans used to categorize death. They would say, he is the strong man who opens the door of heaven for you. He has been taken from the man who had the power of hell to a man who was disarmed by the Lord Jesus to simply be a greeter for the saints. He will not harm you. He will simply welcome you. God never leaves his people, whether in good or in bad. But we need to know the way of the shepherd. We need to know his care. We need to know his closeness, and we need to know his chasing. I'll do this one quickly. Verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Through Psalm 23, the shepherd is continually drawing his sheep closer and closer to himself until at the final end of the psalm, what do you see? You see that we're going from rivers lying down to mountains drawing close to the shepherd's home, to the shepherd's table. The psalm takes us through the good and the bad of life and shows us that at the end of days, the only thing that we will see is goodness and mercy and an everlasting dwelling with our God. As many suggest, the psalm switches from shepherding to hosting, and you could make valid points for it. But notice what he does. He says, you prepare a table. Where? In the presence of my enemies. Meaning what? You are prospering and dining, and your enemies are about to be open to shame. You anoint my head with oil. Prepositional phrase, with oil. In the presence of enemies. They're both parallel. In the presence of enemies with oil. These are both prepositional phrases. Indicating verse 5 is actually superabundance kind of language. If you're in the presence of your enemies and you're anointed with oil, you're prospering beyond ability. And the shepherd who guided them through the valley now brings them to triumph in the end. And this is how the whole Bible goes, isn't it? Just quickly, Martin Luther said it very well. Psalm 23, he said, is a miniature Bible. And so God's people at the end of days are seen to enter what? An eternal banquet. In Revelation 21, 22. Indeed, it becomes clear that all those who are enemies, the enemies of God's people, can see God's people rejoicing and feasting. We learned that with the rich man and Lazarus, right? Like Lazarus is there feasting in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man can see him feasting at the table, right? And all who follow Satan are tormented, while all those who followed the good shepherd are prospering. The whole Bible, from beginning to end, shows that God's people are taken to a table. We even dine at the Lord's table, right? Communion table. And such a statement and such a knowledge of the psalmist leads him to say, surely, with certainty, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just want you to grasp this one thing in verse 6. He says, goodness and mercy. This word for follow is the word in Hebrew, radolf, which is to persecute. Meaning that the Christian, this one reality is true of every day of your life. That God's goodness and mercy are persecuting you. He is following you with intensity, with goodness and mercy to bring you to this place. And there's only one shepherd who is so good, and it's the Lord. I would commend you to no other shepherd. No one else will care for you as this shepherd will. No one else. All of us are under shepherds as pastors, but Jesus, the chief shepherd, is the one who causes all of these things to be true. Physically, spiritually, in the midst of sorrows, and at the table of the Lord, Jesus is the only one who can bring you to such a place. And so, brothers and sisters, know the way of the shepherd. Trust the shepherd. Trust him in your prosperity and in your sorrows. It's a matter of a very short time before you dwell with him at a table. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus, the shepherd in whom we trust and rely. We pray, O shepherd of our souls, come and help us to see you in your hand more clearly. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.